spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, the authentic source of Nigerian information, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. And we have Mr. Olasode on the line. Okay, so let's talk about Nigeria. 60 years, the journey so far. What do you think in terms of the high points and the low points of the Nigerian nation?
I think there are a lot of positive and not so positive landmark that we can point out to. Mm. If you don't mind, let me review from, let's say, from 1960, when we gained our independence, October 1st, from Great Britain. Mm. At that time, we had a prime minister, Taffa Balewa, and the president, Nnamdi Azikiwe. Mm. Those are the good old days. And from that point, a lot of people don't realize that Nigeria never became a republic until 1963. You know, that's when we actually cut off all the, if you want to call it, umbilical cord from Britain.
Okay.
So in 1963, October 1st, that's actually when we became a republic. And if you move on down, you see that in 1965, there were elections that were held in the Western region. So democracy was thriving. I think the negative point going down the history was in 1966, particularly January 15th, that's when we had the coup that terminated the First Republic. And at that time, the premier of Northern Region, Ahmadu Bello, was assassinated along with the finance minister, Festus Okotiebo. So that's when the seed of distrust among our people started. Then, you know, you move down the line. The next day, which was 1966, January 16, the federal military government took over and was formed by General Johnson Gwei Ironsi. Mm. So that's when the military intervention started. So from that point, you move down to 1966. A lot of people didn't realize that we actually had another republic that was born by Isaac Adakaboro, who declared secession from Nigeria. And that secession was crushed by Ojukwu. And a lot of people were killed. By some estimate, 159 people were killed. Then, in 1966, there was a counter coup, you know, which displaced Gwei Ironsi and, you know, the military governor of Western Region was assassinated. That coup was led by General Yakubu Gowon. So those are the flashpoint that led to where we are today. And if you move down, Gowon announced further subdivision of Nigeria into 12 states. This includes the subdivision of the Eastern Region. Mm. That particular act was intended to undermine the political power of the Eastern Region, particularly the Igbo people. So that seed of distrust led to the Nigerian Biafra War, led by General Chukwumeka Odumegwu Ojukwu, the military governor of Eastern Region. And at that time, he declared his province as independent nation. Then in 1970, so we had a war between 1967 and 1970. Precisely January 15, actually January 8, Ojukwu fled into exile, and his deputy, Philip F. Young, became the acting president of Biafra. Then, same year, 1970, F. Young surrendered to Nigerian forces, and Biafra was reintegrated back into Nigeria. But the question that you want to ask yourself is, are we fully integrated as a one nation? And I think that's what we should try for and unite the country as one, so we can all live together as one people. And if you look at the history of Nigeria, those distrusts started long time ago, and we should continue to work together, you know, to get to the dream that we all strive for.
Mm. Wow, let me confess, I admire your sense of history. You've been able to trace it. I mean, whatever is left, don't worry. We are sure you know about that. I think the germane question which you asked is very, 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 very appropriate, because right now, if you look at the Nigerian polity, what we are talking about is restructuring, devolution of powers, the things that would enable every unit of the federation have a sense of belonging. Like I said earlier, I have Dr. Dele Shetaolu with me here in the studios, and he's a lecturer of political science at the Lagos State University. And he's been with me since 10 o'clock, and we've been talking about Nigeria, talking to many people from the diaspora and also in Nigeria. So I'm sure he's listening to you. He might just want to weigh in, you know, and contribute to some of the things that you've said in your what I might call your opening statement. All right. Okay. Yes. He says we should go ahead. That you've stated the history of Nigeria. Now let's look at some of the key issues that, you know, bother or are challenges for us as a nation. And you started from the very right question. Are we still a nation? So people are talking about restructuring. People are talking about devolution of powers. IPOB is there. Biafra is there. Boko Haram. All sorts around the Nigerian nation. Egbe Omododua, Amotekun, all kinds of things just happening in this one country. Now, what do you make out of this, and how do you think we can resolve some of these issues?
We can go back and review what really led to this agitation. I think our problem, if you look at it, actually started in, if you look at the economic part of Nigeria, our problem actually started in 1962 when Tennessee, Nigeria received the first offshore oil license. So once we start getting all this oil boom, what happened was we left behind what got us to be a great nation, which is the agricultural part. So that's what is really the problem. So for me, I think we need to go back and retrace our step politically and economically. So if we are able to do that, and we let the local people control their own resources, then whatever they want to contribute to the national government should be the way forward. The overloading of the federal government of the local resources is part of why we're having problem today. I think once we're able to resolve that problem, we should be able to unite our nation as one, because we'll be able to control our own resources, whatever it may be, because it was God-given. Not only to Nigeria, but to the people that owns, the local people that owns the land. Those people should be allowed to control their resources, not the other way around.
All right, Doctor, do you agree that there's too much power at the center in Nigeria, and that there should be devolution of powers? For example, when we were speaking earlier on with, I think it was Professor Albert, we were talking about, you know, the local government. I know that in the city, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Sonny, in Atlanta, for example, the airport is owned by the local government. In Nigeria, even a state cannot build an airport. You know, so is there so much power, the concurrent lease, the non-concurrent lease, and all of that? Is there so much power at the center?
Yeah, there's no doubt that Nigeria's federal arrangement is perverted.
Mm-hmm.
It is perverted in the sense that, you know, political power and resources are concentrated in the central authority. And you know, ordinarily, the central and the federated units will be coordinate authorities. You know, as envisaged by, as envisaged by the Federalists, Casey West and others. Okay, but what has happened? The Nigerian experience is such that Nigeria gravitated from a particular arrangement in the First Republic where the center and the federated units were coordinated to subordinate relationship. I'll tell you that at the moment, the federated states are somewhat subordinate rather than coordinate authorities with the central authority. You know, Nigeria had a somewhat viable and vibrant federal system in the First Republic. You know, the regions were, you know, were competitive, and they were equally coordinated units to the center. And you know, revenue allocation formula, you know, emphasize derivation to the extent that the regions, the federated units, had the financial capability to expropriate and appropriate resources. And you also recall that in the First Republic, the regions had consular relations with foreign states, you know, and so on and so forth. But the military actually bastardized Nigeria's federal arrangement. The centralized military introduced, you know, centralism, an hierarchical, you know, attribute into Nigeria's federal structure, such that powers became more concentrated in the center to the neglect of the federated units, in this case, the states. Okay? To the extent that the Nigeria's federal arrangement became heavily centralized, you know, I suppose we would rather prefer decentralized federalism. Because, you know, federalism exists in a spectrum. You know, there are tendencies in the federal arrangement. A state could be gravitating at a point to centralizing federalism. And at a point, it's de-gravitating to defederalizing federalism.
Okay, Doc, don't tie me up in knots. Mr. Olasode, I hope you've been listening to Dr. Shewo.
Yes,
he's a lecturer of political science. He has been tying me up in knots in the studio since morning. I've been hearing all kinds of words, subjugating, subverting, and now, I mean, what do you think? Is it making sense to you, sir?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we need to go back to the true spirit and of the founding fathers of what do they actually envisage for Nigeria. I think if we can retrace our step, as I've stated earlier, we should be able to get to that dream of Nigeria that we all hope and work towards.
All right, so, okay, now let's hit it right on the head now. Now, Nigerians in diaspora, 60 years after independence of the Nigerian nation, what contributions, what role do you think Nigerians in diaspora should play or have to play or must play in the development of the Nigerian nation, in nation building moving forward?
I think the Nigerians in diaspora contribute a lot. They already contributing economically. I think the last interview that we had, we went over the amount that Nigerians in diaspora $25 billion,
according to Mr. President himself.
Yes, so I think it's actually higher than that. But if you take that amount alone, is a very huge figure. But I think what Nigeria needs right now is to be able to use all the human resources, both at home and in diaspora. I mean, look, if you take, for example, in the sphere of sports, what are we doing so well on the national level in sports? It's because we've been able to bring all the resources that we have, the human capital that we have across the world, to come together to battle in the field of sports, and that's why we're doing well. So the question to your answer, I mean the answer to your question,
yes,
is we need all the hands on deck, both local and international. I think the next administration, when they do form the next government, should not just look inward. They should also look outside the box and look at other people that may be able to, they want to contribute. A lot of this human capital lies abroad, and we should be able to bring them home to the development of Nigeria. I think that's the only way we can be able to get to that point. Because, you know, it's not a rocket science. There are people that have earned they know their onions, they know what solution they can provide for the problem of Nigeria. And we need to bring those people on board so we can be able to attain those goals that we set for our nation.
All right, okay, and I agree with you absolutely. Just to be sure, I think the figure we're talking about in terms of diaspora remittances to Nigeria, according to Mr. President, even if he said $25 billion was like 80% of our budget, and I think 6% of GDP or something like that. But there's another dimension I would like to put to this. We've been talking about Nigeria, we've been talking about the economy. There's some young lady I interviewed weeks back, and she said that Nigerians in the diaspora, they are the social service of this nation. Because the figure that we are quoting in terms of diaspora remittances, it's not about trade. And of course, it far outweighs the foreign direct investment. We're talking about, Bradami, please send me money. The roof of the father's house is
yes.
I want to do this.
Let me also point out a very good statistic for you. If you look at Nigerians anywhere in the world, for any field they engage themselves in, they've always tried. Some of the best doctors in the United States are Nigerians. Some of the best engineers are Nigerians. Some of the best architects in the U.S. are Nigerians. So why is it that we cannot bring some of these experts to develop our nation? So I think the first thing we need to do is we need to remove the impediment. The problem with Nigeria is the government itself is standing in the way of development. So we don't need more government, we need less government. Once we have less government and we are able to let the entrepreneurship take over, I think we're going to go far.
Yeah, I was just chuckling because, you know, these are some of the things that Dr. Sheriolu has been talking about earlier in terms of the state itself being, you know, when he talks of state, I know he's talking about government. Now, Doctor, we are back to the point you've been making.
Yeah.
Because here is somebody who is far away in Chicago, monitors what is happening in Nigeria, understands what is happening in Nigeria, he's been home, even trying to do quite a few things, you know. But the problem, is government really the problem of progress in Nigeria?
Do you know what? In my view, Nigeria, like any other state, will not likely develop or grow without an intervention in state. The state must intervene in development. The state should define the agenda for development. The state should develop the philosophical underpinnings of development. The state should mobilize and aggregate social forces for specific developmental goals and agenda. But we lack such states in Nigeria and Africa. Though I'll differ though with them on the question of limited government. Because limited government presupposes that the state should withdraw. It presupposes that the state should, leave the space for the market, and that equally means that the market should play a dominant role in the allocation of resources.
Mm.
But I would rather argue for developing societies, including Nigeria. You know, we structural developed underdeveloped with structural distortions and underdevelopment. The state, in my view, should still play a critical and important and superintendent and supervisory role in the developmental process. The states in Africa at this point cannot and should not abandon developmental question to the market, because that's the idea of limited government.
Mm.
We can't. We can't. I recall that when the United States and Europe were still developing, the states were involving, the states were intervening. Mm. The states for developed countries could choose to withdraw. But where the states in developing societies, including Nigeria, withdraws, who deals with the question of development, who handles the question of poverty, you know, who handles the question of the economy and economic management that will impact on the people and so on and so forth. I'm aware, for instance, that, you know, that America, at every point in time, would always intervene in its national currency where there are fluctuations. Mm. And there are thresholds beyond which the American dollar cannot decline beyond. Otherwise, America would intervene in the country's strategic interests. Mm. I'm also aware that the British government subsidizes farming, you know, agriculture, agribusiness in Britain, you know, and that for strategic national security reason. The state cannot, should not abdicate certain roles. The state should play a leading role in development. The state should actually lead the market. The market should not lead the state. The state should mediate the market. The state should define the agenda of development. I'll insist for developing countries with underdeveloped, you know, and distorted economic structures. We cannot abandon developmental agenda and developmental aspirations and goals to the market. The state should and must play a leading role, except that the state in Africa is a perverted state. It lacks the capacity, you know, to do such. That's right. Such is the tragedy of the state in Africa.
All right. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Sodi. I'm with you. Go ahead.
If I may just interject for a minute. I think I understand the philosophical position of our professor. But I will argue very strongly that in the case of Nigeria, the state has actually deprived the people of their liveliness. You know, if we talk about the state, we need to define what we are talking about. I think the one that I'm talking about is on the national federal level. And I think we should limit the role of the federal government to those areas, such as defense of the integrity of Nigeria, such as maybe our airspace and some other vital area, and protection of Nigeria as a whole. But when you look at on the micro level, in terms of the local government, in terms of the state government, I think we should be very, very cautious in terms of what we get the state to get involved in. I think from my own understanding, the state should just prepare the ground and make sure there's a level playing field for all the players that are going to be interacting in the space. And they should make sure that there is no upper hand being given to any other party. So I think overall, from my understanding of the political history, socialism, as we know it, is dead, is not coming back. And the way forward is to allow the market, you know, to dictate the direction that we want to go. That's just my own philosophical standpoint.
All right. I know that Dr. Shewelu is itching to respond to that. Okay, let's just give him 1 minute to respond to that so that we can just take your final and last comments, Mr. Sonny, all the way from Chicago. All right, so Doctor, just briefly. I know you can't expound, you can go on and on, but let's just listen to you on this one.
Well, I'll concede that there's a difference between which is ideological. And it has to do with how the economy should be managed. You're insisting on market-based, economic management. Mm. And I feel the state should play a superintendent and major role.
Mm.
You know, I still prefer that the state plays a major and superintendent role. And the reasons for this. You recall that the IMF and World Bank, it actually, canvassed this idea of limited government for economies undergoing reforms, which included Nigeria. The question is, what has been the level of economic growth and development in Nigeria since the implementation of economic reforms and neoliberal reforms? I rather argue that the Nigerian state and economy has been worse since the state withdrew from the governance space and market substituted it. Market has created more crisis. Market led reforms has impoverished Nigerians, alienated the Nigerian people, and created social distancing between the governing class and the Nigerian people. We need to rethink economic management system in Nigeria. I'm afraid market reforms, is not likely, the viable option.
All right, no problem. I agree. Dr. Shedeolu is to the left, Mr. Sonny is to the right, and I am in the middle. All right, Mr. Sonny, your final words on this. Don't worry, we're just having a good time talking about our nation, Nigeria, and of course, our opinions might, will certainly differ. But what is important is government is listening to us. They must take hold of some of the points that we've made so that we can sit down and look at the best way for the Nigerian nation.
Yes, I think moving forward, yeah, we should also examine the type of people that we elect to represent us, both at the local, state, and the national level.
Mm.
I think for too long we've been recycling leadership,
yes,
and it's time for us to open the political space to allow people who have something to offer to our nation and to be able to move on forward. That's my own take for Nigeria moving forward. And I believe if we do that, and we should start by just rolling back the clock in terms of the amount of resources that we spend on our national representative. Actually, I would recommend that maybe we go back to singular camera instead of bicameral legislature, and also limit the number of representatives coming from each state. I think the resources that we are wasting on this type of representative is just a waste of money. That's just my own take, and we should devolve power to the local level. Remove some of these overwhelming overload by the federal government, and allow the local and the state to thrive. And I think that's the only way Nigeria is going to be able to shake itself from this chokehold, political and economic chokehold that we find ourselves in. And if we don't reverse the trend on that, I think we've got a long way to go. We can actually speed track. We can make this thing go faster if we remove all the impediments that are standing in our way.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Lasoni, all the way from Chicago and Nigerian in diaspora. And of course, we've gotten your own submissions about how Nigeria can develop, especially the root cause of some of our problems in Nigeria. Thank you very much for being a part of Spirit of Nigeria Radio again today, this Diamond Day Nigeria broadcast. Thank you very much. I promised you the last time, now COVID is subsiding, anytime I'm in Chicago, we'll do Yaokpa together.
you still have to be careful, though. Till we find a permanent solution to this
issue. Well, but Nigeria, Nigeria
is bubbling now. So
yeah, we are bubbling.
COVID or no COVID,
we are in COVID and we've gotten used to it. All right, thank you very much for being a part of this program. We truly, truly and sincerely appreciate it because we know you are part of the Spirit of Nigeria Radio family. Thank you very much, Mr. Sonny, all the way from Chicago. Thanks a lot for being a part of the show.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.